Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, O sing, of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. Reading from Isaiah chapter 44, beginning to read at verse 3, and reading through the 8th verse, and then beginning in the latter part of the chapter. Isaiah 44, the 3rd verse. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's. Another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who, as I, shall call and shall declare it, and say it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming, and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. And then going to the latter part of the chapter, verse 21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains. O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and glorified himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and spreadeth abroad the earth by itself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, and turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish. When I read this, though it speaks of Jacob, I say, me too. I need it. We all need it. It is a message, as Christ said, God, his Father, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everyone needs it. Christ said later, just before his ascension, to preach that gospel to every creature. He also said to preach it to all nations. God already said earlier to Abraham, in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. How wonderful, wonderful, the gospel, the good news of Christ dying for sinners. Let's pray in his name. Our Father, we do come to thee in the name of Christ, praying that thou would look on us through him and not on ourselves. We pray, Father, that we might know the promises given, that all thy promises are yea and amen in him. And we think of thy word, Lord Jesus, the saying that if we pray in thy name, the Father will hear us and thou will hear us. And we pray that, first of all, we may be taught to pray in that name rightly, that we will not take it in vain, that we will not ask foolishly or wrongly, even as James could say, you ask amiss to consume it on your lust. Help us to want it for thy glory. Help us to want thy name to be honored, thy kingdom to come, and thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we may say as we have been taught, hallowed be thy name, all through Christ. Amen. How we need to give thanks for these words, far above even the temporal blessings that we have been given, reminded of, when as a nation we were given the example of our pilgrim forefathers to have thanksgiving after they had a wonderful crop, and we have those blessings of food, raiment, shelter, many other things, health to the measure that we have it, and that we can pray in the name of Christ for those that are sick and injured, sorrowful, homes, all of that, but all of it is temporal, only for a time, all in God's purpose, but as we just quoted from Christ, Whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting or eternal life. Here we have the reason why we can have that. We read in this 44th chapter here something that we probably don't think of so often when we read from the Old Testament. Verse 6 of this 44th chapter, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. There's no other God, and there's no other word. Refuse this word, and God will have to refuse us, no matter who we are, no matter what we may think. We have to receive it all. And as I said a moment ago, when we think of God blessing, describing some, we have to say, me too. I need it. We need it. All. Everyone in the world. As Paul could later write to the Colossians, the Gentile church, he stated that there was no difference. He said, whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. And then he describes all that do believe, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's in nations, families, colors, minorities, majorities, high places, low places, everywhere. As we just read, bond nor free, servant or master, all the same before God. God has given us different offices on earth. One in relationship with each other. But before God, we're all either sinners saved or sinners lost. Yes, all sinners. And then divided. In only two ways. Lost, saved. Saved, lost. Where are you? Among the saved? Or still among the lost? Because we all began as lost. As Paul said to the Ephesians, without hope and without God. Here is the reason why we can have a hope in God. Again, those words. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Two people described. One speaking, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, and his Redeemer. Calling that Redeemer the Lord of hosts. Can that be true that wherever we read that phrase, that term, that name, the Lord of hosts, that the inspired writer, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, whether it be Moses or Samuel or the psalmist or Isaiah, that God is inspiring them to speak of Christ whenever they write the Lord of hosts. We have this term given already in the book of Samuel. We have it all through the book of Isaiah. Over half of the chapters mention that phrase, the Lord of hosts. Beginning already in the first chapter, we read in verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been made like unto Gomorrah. Why weren't they? Because there was a Redeemer. Because there was somebody that paid the price instead of themselves. Except the Lord of hosts had left us this very small remnant. Without Christ, God the Father could not leave a remnant. The Lord Jesus gives that message very plainly. The gospel is to be preached to everyone. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth not shall be damned. That was true in Israel. Only those that saw the sacrifices rightly, that was a type, a shadow of Christ, would know that there is the Lord of hosts, the Redeemer, the one to buy back. We sang some time ago a song based on Job. Job, who suffered much. Job was a righteous man, but Satan tempted him terribly and put him through terrible things. And one of the things that Job said in the midst of that book, the 19th chapter, that I know that my Redeemer liveth, and the latter day will stand upon the earth. There's a song that's written from those words that we sang a short time ago. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know eternal life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. Then the chorus, I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. Today we sang another song with much the same words. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Yes, my Redeemer, my buyer back, bought us back from death's portals, brought us back from running away from God, paid the price so God would receive us. And as Paul writes to the Corinthians, that God is in the world through Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. We have that word here in this 44th chapter, in this 6th verse. And his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. We also have it in the 47th chapter. The 4th verse. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Yes, in a way we can say that God the Father is a Redeemer through Christ. As I already quoted, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave, and God is doing that. As I also quoted from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, that God is in the world, reconciling the world to himself, but doing it all through Christ. Christ the Redeemer. And that's what Job was speaking of when he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and shall in the latter day stand upon the earth. And the songwriter, Philip Bliss, the 3rd verse, I will praise my dear Redeemer. His triumphant power I'll tell, how the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. Have that victory been made known to you, in you? Sin, you must know it first, then be redeemed from it, bought back by Christ's death, by his shedding his blood, by his resurrection. Sin and death. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Eternal death. Separation from God. And then, the last word of that last verse of the 3rd stanza. Hell. Hell. When God awoke me, he taught me I was going to hell. I was deserving hell. The psalmist said, the pangs of hell got hold of me. He knew what was coming. I knew I deserved it. I knew that I was on the way. I knew that except God himself would pluck me as a brand from the burning, or take me out of the horrible pit and place my feet upon a rock, as David said in Psalm 40, that I would deservingly go to hell. I've had preachers say, oh, if you would have died in that state, you would have went to heaven. I said to one, I said, if I would have died and you preached my sermon, you probably would have preached. I was in heaven, a church member, formalist. But I said, I would have been suffering in hell. He would have been lying. Yes, lying. How many funerals are lies? How many sermons are lies? Sermons that should preach the gospel. Sermons that should call to repentance. Sermons that should make people know they need the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, is his name. Our name is a sinner. His name is the Savior. Sometimes we say, well, I know all of that. Yes, in our heads, but what about our hearts? Christ spoke of Israel. One of the Old Testament prophets did too, that with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness, the things of this life. Here we have it. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Yes, God showed it to them first, till they refused it. And like we just read from Isaiah, except the Lord of hosts had saved a remnant, left us a very small remnant, We should have been like Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. And then again, the 24th verse of the same chapter, Isaiah chapter 1. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, ah, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. The Lord Jesus came once to die for sinners. He's coming again to judge sinners. Some will know in time that they had to be saved and will on that day be ready for his coming. Be like Job. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that eternal life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. Listen again to those words. Again shall stand. He's been here before. Twice. More times probably. Once in creation. Once in death. Born in Bethlehem. Born of the Virgin Mary. As we saw from this prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, all his names given in chapter 9, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of his increase of government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We saw that some weeks ago from Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. David said that 1,000 years before Christ ascended back to heaven after his death, after his resurrection, and then we read, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. He's there now, building his kingdom, making his enemies his footstool, as Paul. And I was certainly an enemy as well, a despiser of the truth. Yes, claimed some of it, historic truth, but not the experimental truth that brings a sinner to humbleness before God, that brings him like a little child, listening, learning, believing, repenting, knowing we must be saved by God alone. We don't give our heart to the Lord. We don't begin to do this and begin to do that and call that salvation. Salvation is like the criminal being pardoned, forgiven. That's what has to happen in salvation. The forgiveness of sins. Justification came out on the time of the Reformation, when Martin Luther learned it for himself and then for others. Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the Holy One with the Father, the two, plus the Holy Spirit as well. And think of it again as it is there. There are many that would call themselves religious. There are many that would even want to say they serve the same God with Christians, but do not have the same Savior, the same Redeemer, do not have the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. He's going to redeem so many that this is a host. We read in Revelation where John pictures the times there in heaven, one asking another, whence came thee? These hosts that no man can number, said out of every nation, but also said out of great tribulation, suffering. Yes, there may be that. But there is the victory always in Christ. He gives the victory by faith in Him. Not just ourselves, not pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps, but as John states in his first epistle, who is it that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Yes, particularly three groups of people talk about God, the God of heaven, the God of Abraham. But there's only one out of those three that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus, who was on this world, born those 2,016 years ago, lived here 30-some years, taught, healed, did miracles, raised even the dead, and then died, as we saw from Isaiah. He laid on him the iniquity of us all, Isaiah 53. Also that sad commentary on us. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and rejected of men. But God gave him, and the victory is in him. And here again, the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.